Well, that you were at that big meeting in Anchorage in 1971 when the president signed the bill, and people were pretty pleased about it. How would you compare the way they feel about it now to the way they feel about it then?
I wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been going to many meetings since then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't know how they feel now.
Mm-hmm. Most of the people here are long-time residents, are they? Most of them lived here a long time?
Yes. All our lives, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All of them?
Everybody
born and raised here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's... kind of a beautiful spot. When we came in our boat tonight, we all said, gosh, it's very, very pretty here. But,
I think this is one of the beautiful spots as long as I've been along the river, through this canyon here.
Yeah.
I've been the upper end and down the lower end of the river, and this is the prettiest spot we got.
Yeah. Yeah. What we were talking about the corporations and about subsistence, and are there any improvements, any changes you'd like to see in ANCSA, in the land claims? You've been with it from the beginning and seen a lot. Any changes you'd like to see that?
Well, I'd like to see them change some of the fishing laws they got. Some of that, get that straightened out. I hear we're going to be shipped on in a couple of days. And there you go. There goes your commercial thing. You don't even get started, see.
We held a meeting in Stevens Village night before last. Quite a big turnout. Quite a lot of the adults came, and some of the older people, and talked about how they felt about land claims. And we've been going all over the state to villages to find out how people feel about it. Because a lot of them are concerned about what might happen in 1991, sale of shares, taxation of the land, and so on. And we also have been asking how they feel about their corporations. And this is one of the villages, I gather, where people feel their local village corporation has helped them, paid some dividends, and employed some of the local people. Is that the way you feel, Mr. Weil? Or?
Yes. They've been doing very good to the corporation and the village here. I know we're a lot better off in some of the villages along the river here. And have meddled up on the corporations.
Well, maybe I could ask you ladies to say what you think about these things, if you don't mind.
That'd be all from me.
Well, you don't have to leave. We're just that this isn't a private interview. It's you're welcome to stay. You move your chairs up if you like, and we're
let the ladies talk.
We heard from this.
I'm going to go back and watch my boy again.
If I could get you to come, about this poster, it would really help me out. Can you get about
the... Kevin, attention care with it.
What?
Kevin, he's an attention care. Fairbanks. Spill hot heat on his back.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, when?
Sometime today. My little grandson was in the hospital. He's got in there tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Can I have your full name, please?
Elizabeth Newman.
And you've lived here at Ryan Park a long time, I guess. Eh?
Oh, I was born here and raised there.
Oh, I see. Settled back in 1971. How do you feel it's worked out, and what do you think about it all?
Well, one thing, it caused an awful lot of fighting. And before the land claims, the land was free. I mean, it was everybody's. Then the land claims come along, and everybody's fighting over it. So I don't think it did us any good.
What we were asking Mr. Carlson and Mr. Weil about 1991, it may be that you're a shareholder in the local village corporation, mm-hmm. and in Doyon. It may be that after 1991, maybe people can sell their shares and get some money for them. If they do sell them, however, then non-native people might acquire the shares, control the corporations, and then own the land. So that's a real problem. How do you feel? Do you think people would like to sell their shares or should hold on to them? What do you think?
I think they should hold on to them for their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Because the way I feel now, the ones that was born after 71, they don't have anything.
And that's a complaint that people have made. Everywhere we've gone, they've said the children born since 1971 don't have any right to shares, and they feel they should participate fully. How do you feel about that, ma'am? Maybe I could have your name and...
Kitty Evans.
What's that again?
Kitty Evans.
Kitty Evans, right.
I feel the same way she does. I don't think they should sell their shares. So it can go on, because these kids now, these younger kids, they don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
The way it is now, it's not doing any good. I'm just fighting over it and all that. I feel the same way she does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mrs. Newman, you said that before 1971, people weren't fighting in this village, but since then they've been fighting because...
All over. Like your land, like a lot of people that moved away from here, we thought they'd never come back. And then soon as they came here and told us to go pick out our native allotments. And I thought that was pretty terrible, going out and saying, this is my land, this is going to be my piece of land, when I felt that everybody had a right to it. And where you file it before a piece of land, somebody else filed over it that's from Rampart but doesn't live here anymore.
For allotments, you mean?
Uh-huh, for allotments. And it just, three or four people file on one piece of land, and it just caused a big hassle.
Yeah.
When I think that the land is free, it's everybody's.
Well, when you say everybody's, you mean everybody in the village?
Yeah, and whoever wants to go there and trap. I mean, you know, like maybe somebody wants to come back here and trap.
Come back from where?
From Fairbanks or wherever he is.
You mean someone left the village to go to Fairbanks?
Uh-huh. And then they want to come back to trap, but the land is all taken. And yet, a lot of people take land, but they don't do anything on it. But still, it's theirs. I mean, they say it's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go up and down the river on some of these native allotments, and you'll see signs, no trespassing.
How do you feel about that, Mrs. Evans? Do you think there's been conflict since 1971, or?
Yes, I don't. There's, it's never changed. They have nothing settled. They never settled the land in the first place when they first started. First picked out lands. They never straightened it out or nothing.
Do you have some of your shareholders in your local village corporation living outside of Rampart and Fairbanks and Anchorage and so on?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they would do about their shares in 1991 if someone came along and wanted to buy them?
I don't know.
I just hope they don't sell it.
Some of them might.
Yes, some of them will, though.
What about subsistence? Mr. Carlson and Mr. Weil are talking about subsistence. Is that important to the people here? Can you tell me a little bit about that, Mrs. Newman?
Well, it's just their way of, our way of living. Like our fishing, they make so many rules about our fishing. We don't get a chance to get any fish. We have to pull the nets two or three times a week. And then by the time we get it back in, the quota is met.
By the time we get back in what?
Get our nets back in to really do the fishing, the quotas finished.
Mm-hmm.
How long we've been fishing? A week? About a week?
Yeah.
And what about subsistence in winter? Hunting and is there any ice fishing?
Just in the spring.
Oh, I see.
And our hunting is no good in the fall because the boats come down the river and get all the moose.
The boats come down the river?
Uh-huh. They put their boats in at the landing.
Who does?
People from Fairbanks, Anchorage, down the lower 48s too.
Sportsmen?
Uh-huh. You can go up the river or come down from the bridge and you'll find a dead moose on the beach with the horns cut off. So. And everybody here wait till just about the time the hunting season is over so their meat will keep. And by that time, all the moose is gone.
By that time, they're not good then.
By that time?
By that time, they're not very good. They're all there. All run out.
Well, I'm going around the villages all over Alaska to find out what people think about land claims. And most places they're concerned about selling shares, they're concerned about the children. In some places, they're not very happy with their corporations. Here, people in this town seem to be happy with their corporation. That's not always what we find, you know, sometimes people aren't very happy. But I'm going to write a report next year about this that will contain my recommendations, and I'll send a copy to both of you here at Rampart. What else could you tell me about it? Any other changes you'd like to see? Understand there'll be some others along later. Then we just wait around a bit and see what the others have to say. I guess people will be drifting in.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you got here, we kind of brought you right to the front to say something. Well, I'm glad you did. It really helped us a lot. Anyway.
I don't know. I just hope the younger generation doesn't sell their shares.
Well, that's what a lot of the people say. They don't want them to sell their shares.
They should have fixed it so that they couldn't sell things, but just hand it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we can do that.
Yep.
Yep.
Go ahead. My name's Tom Berger. I think I've met some of you, and we've just been traveling down the river to hear what people have to say about land claims and about 1991 and all of these other questions, and so we just dropped in here, and Bill Carlo and Henry Wheel and Elizabeth Newman and Kitty Evans have already come in and talked a little bit about some of the issues. The question of subsistence, the performance of the corporations, business of selling shares after 1991. After 1991, Native people may be able to sell their shares, and they might be able to get some money for them. Do people want to sell their shares, or do they think they should keep them? Because, of course, if enough people sell their shares, then non-Natives might acquire control of the corporations and the land. And then there's the question of the children. Some of them here, I guess, don't have shares because they weren't born until after 1971. So that's one of the other questions. But whatever is on your mind, we're just here among friends. And if you'd like to come and sit here and talk a little bit about it, we're just taking it down on tape so that your words aren't lost into thin air, and we can make sure there's a permanent record of what you say.
Where is your funding coming from?
The funding comes from the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which is an international organization of Eskimos, and they have raised the money. Some of it came from the North Slope Borough, some from the Humanities Forum of Alaska, some from other foundations.
I took Mary down to Tanana, and
Do you want to sit over here, sir?
And how much my boat burns gas, I think I put about 50 gallons of gas in that boat. And I took Mary down, and I just wanted to know if there, if I'd get anything out of it.
Oh, well, if it's, sure, if it's a triplet, you think you should send us a little bill for it, sure, that's fine. We'd be happy to pay it.
Where did I send it to?
Well, just give it to me before we leave. We'll be around tomorrow.
Okay, fine.
But that's fine with us. Well, Mrs. Harwood, you and I were chatting. Maybe you'd like to start off tonight. Would that be okay?
As I was telling you, that the greatest advantage of the land claims has been the employment that it has offered to shareholders and sometimes non-shareholders, Alaskans, however. A lot of us have been employed and have received very sufficient salaries, which we would not have done had we not been working for one of the corporations, and it was enjoyable work because we worked with our own people, and we got to know a lot of our people, and the relationship, I think, between the people of Alaska has become closer because of the land claims, because they have been able to meet at different types of meetings, and they've done more traveling than they ever have done before. As a result, have met people whom they would probably never meet, and this has created good relationship among the people of Alaska. As far as the 1991 issue, we all realize that we all realize and we all hope that we will not sell our stock. We want it definitely to be passed on to our children and grandchildren. And I've heard lots of our native people say that, especially the grandchildren. And I think that they're thinking of the ones who did not were not able to participate except by inheritance in the land claims. Quite a few have inherited stock because of deaths of the original stockholders, but not enough. If people would realize, you know, when before their death, that the certain children don't have stock, and certain children do. You know, they can will all of that stock to the ones who did not receive anything. That's one way that these kids can eventually benefit from the land claims. And as I said, you know, we don't want to sell our stock. We don't want to see a lot of non-natives acquiring stock, and they already have because of inheritance, and that's unavoidable. And if I think people knew what was going to happen, they could have foreseen this and could have made out wills, and it, you know, would have been avoided. But it's all new yet. Comparatively new, and people have to learn all these things. That's all I have to say, I think.
Well, you were telling me that Mrs. Harwood, that
You and your husband lived here until 1948, but since then
51.
You...
51.
Oh, 51.
Mm-hmm.
And that you were the U.S. Commissioner here at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a jack-of-all-trades.
Tried to be.
But you come back now for the summers, I gather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, just while we're here in this very beautiful spot on the river, what changes have you seen in the way of life here since that time, for the better and for the worse?
In telling the changes, I would be revealing my age, but that's all right. The biggest change, I think, in my life has been transportation, because transportation was always just by slow boat or a rowboat, and in the summertime, and then dog team in the wintertime. And then all of a sudden, here comes the airplanes. And we used to get mail, I think, once a month from Manly Hot Springs by dog team. It took 4 days to go over a round trip. And then we began getting it every 2 weeks. And then the plane came, and my goodness, we started getting it every week. And so that's been the biggest change. And then, of course, another big change, I think, is our food. We've had to rely more on this food from grocery stores, because the moose isn't as plentiful. No one likes bear meat like we used to, so it isn't used too much anymore. They utilize everything else that they can when they can get it, but that's been a big change, because we were able to practically live off the land. We had caribou and moose and all kinds of meat, and then all varieties of fish and berries, and we had vegetable gardens, so we didn't rely too much on the grocery store. But now it's not so. The grocery store is very important now, and they sell a greater variety of foods than we ever got. So I would say those are the biggest changes. And there are other conveniences too, such as nurses' aides in the village who take care of the sick. Prior to that, there was just usually one person who was responsible for nursing people and for the being undertaker and everything. And now they have nurses' aides. They have more jobs in the villages than we ever had, and there's more of a cash flow than there was before.
You were telling me you worked for Doyon for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm. Almost 10 years.
In what capacity? What was it you were doing?
Director of Stockholder Records, before that I was Director of Stockholder Relations, and then I ended up Director of Stockholder Records.
And you were saying that that through one that you that there are none native stockholders now. And that their numbers are increasing. Is that something you noticed when you were Director of Stockholder Records?
Oh, yes, because I worked on the transfer of the stock, and I couldn't help but notice, and it was really unfortunate to see that happening.
That would happen when people made their will and...
Did not make a will. Say there was a man married to a non-native woman, and if he died and they did not have a family, she inherited the 100 shares.
Automatically.
Yes, that's right. Uh-huh. Because it's all transferred according to Alaska statutes. And that says that the spouse gets 100 shares if there are no children.
On intestacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then sometimes, of course, we had some who died testate and left... made their spouses the recipient of the stock.
What were the years that you were working for DOI on?
1974 to 84, just recently.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I started in 1974.
Yeah. Have you any idea how what percentage of DOI shareholders are non-native now? If you feel free to tell me.
Well, maybe somebody else, maybe Georgiana can tell you that later, because she did a study on it.
Yeah.
Do you want me to venture a guess, Georgiana, or do you want to do? Yes or no? No. When she says no, I don't know, which means that's okay. I'll let her
do that. Okay. Other thing that you were saying in DOI there's been employment provided for shareholders.
Definitely. Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. We have quite a few shareholders working, and I know that an effort is made to hire the qualified shareholders. I had two working under me who were both shareholders, two girls, and it was just wonderful to see the number who were, and of course we had to have others too, non-shareholders also.
Any idea what the percentage of Native employees was in DOI when you left a few months ago?
What the percentage of Native employment?
To the employment.
Well, there were a lot of changes being made, so I would say about 50%. Mm-hmm. They were shareholders.
Back in when you lived here before, in the 1940s, and how did people make their living here then?
It was all trapping and fishing in the summer, and there was no commercial fishing. The only way that they made money by fishing was to sell the dried fish, dried salmon strips,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they put up dogfish and dried that, but it was hard. Mm-hmm. It was definitely hard. And then a few worked out at the mines in the summertime, but that was for $5 a day, I think. I worked at the mine for $50 a month, cooking for 7 men at that time, prior to that. But so it was hard. The cash economy was very bad, and people worked hard for what they got. But they ate well, and they always fed their families well because of the fact that they worked hard.
How does the people in those days made their living by fishing and trapping, how does that compare with Rampart today, if you're able to say, as a summer resident?
Well, they're doing well, lots better now in fishing. In the past few years, they've had commercial fishing, and some of them do quite well. But in trapping, it's not too good. Still, there are a few who do trap, but the fur isn't plentiful, or a lot of times it's the price is low on that. But there are more jobs available. Jobs at the school that we did when we went to school here, we did the janitorial work, all the kids did, and now they hire a janitor. And they have teacher's aides and a cook in the school to serve a lunch to the kids. So it's really nice and a lot different.
Well, anything else that you'd like to say?
No, I think I've said enough. I think I should give somebody else a chance. Okay.
Well, thanks very much.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say all the candy.
You said about everything.
Ben is the chief, she'll...
Yeah.
Say.
Could you move a little closer to the microphone, please?
I was trying to get away from it. My name is Linda Evans, and I've been trying to think here in these last few minutes while I listen to Aunt Kitty speak about what the Alaska Native Land Claims has done for me or means to me.
You're chief of the IRA council here in town?
It's just a traditional council. It's not an IRA council.
Traditional.
It's the Rampart Village Council, yes. I am. And actually, I really, to me, I think it set us apart from a lot of, set us apart from people, you know, made us stand out as Alaska Natives and stuff like that, which could attributed to some of the prejudice and stuff that's happened when Alaska Native Land Claims first came about, I think. And you know, I've always been proud of who I am, whether regardless of whether I was Native or whatever, you know. But I think it set us apart from other people, and which I don't know whether is good or bad. And it gave us a lot of responsibilities that we never had before, you know, being shareholders of corporations. We don't know what corporations was. I know my father never knew about it. You know, he's dead and gone right now. But that, and also other responsibilities of being landowners, you know, the possibility of us probably having, maybe, I don't know, having to pay taxes on our lands that we own. I don't know if we have to do it individually or our corporation has to do it. Those are the things, the problems I think the Alaska Native Land Claims has presented us with. Other things that I think that it didn't realize or it didn't take into consideration was our children that are born after 1971. And what are we going to do when we start having to pay taxes on our lands that we own when we don't even know how much they're worth? Selling our stock, non-Native people owning our stock in our corporations.
Well, do you think those corporations should be open for non-Natives to acquire shares? Mrs. Harwood pointed out that some have acquired shares already. When there's a death without a will, and after 1991, it may be that in some corporations the shares will be available for sale to non-Natives. What do you think about corporations that
acquire a lot of non-native shareholders, maybe a majority. Do you think that's the way things ought to go, or do you think that native people ought to keep control of the corporations themselves?
I think the reason the Alaska Native Land Fence came about was in order for us to keep a hold of our lands. I think that was the main reason. And I think that's the way it should remain. But I know some of our people have married into non-native families, you know. And so it's hard to say, you know, say that no, they shouldn't, but.
But you're inclined to say, well, you're not saying no, they shouldn't marry into non-native families, but the shares should not go to non-native descendants.
Well, if they were shares just for monetary value or something, you know,
non-voting?
Non-voting shares, you know, nothing. What I think the Native Land Claims stands for is our land that we wanted to show that's native land, you know. And I think that should remain that way. That's why the Alaska Native Land Claims came about. So if maybe they should have non-voting shares, or they shouldn't have title to land and stuff like that.
Yeah. Maybe you could tell me whether many of the people in this village have allotments, native allotments. Are there many around here, or?
Yes, I think there's quite a few native allotments around here.
And there is no city council here. There's no incorporated municipal government.
No, there's not.
So, what about your relationship, the traditional council's relationship with the state? Does the traditional council receive money from the state?
If they apply for it, yes. They receive state revenue sharing funds and other grants that they can apply for.
And are you getting those now?
Yes.
And in a general way, can you tell me what the council spends the money on?
Just for the betterment for our community. Like some of our monies are going for electrification. And just keeping this community hall up and our village health clinic, generator for our village clinic and this community hall.
So the traditional council has some people on its payroll here in town, does it?
Let's see. No, not really. Only if they have grant monies to do a job or something.
Oh, I see.
Then we have people on our payroll.
Oh, I see.
But we use mostly the money for operating expenses.
And do you have any, is there any special arrangements that the state asks you to make with them, since you're not a state-chartered municipal government, but a traditional council?
I don't understand what you mean.
Yeah, sometimes I don't myself. Okay, I don't think I need to pursue that then. Mrs. Newman and Mrs. Evans both spoke about the children here born since 1971 not being shareholders, and Mr. Wheel mentioned that he was head of the IRA Council back in 1971 when the big meeting was held at Anchorage, and President Nixon signed the ANCSA legislation. The
I think this is the first place we've been to where they've got a traditional council and no city government. So that's really why I was asking you about the relations that your traditional council has with the state government. But you're really saying that the things that you need to do, you ask them for the revenue just as any other municipal government would do.
Yes, we do.
And you get it?
Yes.
Maybe you could just tell me a little bit about the local village corporation here. Mary Jane Fate testified in Fairbanks, so we heard about its work then, and Annie Mayo gave evidence about it at her fish camp where we stopped this afternoon on the way here. And around the, well, can you tell me how it's worked out?
The Village Corporation?
Yeah.
I think our Village Corporation has done an outstanding job because it has tried to look at it as a profit business and also as a business where it can help its people, you know, which I think it has done.
So